You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. So what do you do when the power goes out? You go outside to see if your neighbors are in the same fix, right? But as commentator Gary Borders finds, when the outage stretches on for hours in the summer, an impromptu car parade rolls through his neighborhood.
A thunderstorm rumbled through on a recent late Sunday afternoon, bringing much-needed rain to our parched area. We lose power often in this cul-de-sac, even under a cloudless sky, though rarely for long. I have AEP's outage number in my cell phone contacts and quickly went through the routine of reporting it to an automated voice. Our family is frugal. We keep the thermostat set at 78 degrees downstairs and 80 degrees upstairs during the day. With ceiling fans whirring, that keeps it tolerable if you dress accordingly in shorts and t-shirt. But that's only when the electricity is working. When the power goes off in hot weather, this house becomes a brick veneer oven. The large, fixed-pane windows can't be opened to pull in the breeze from the storm. We opened all the doors to invite in the rain and mosquitoes, as well as the modest breeze. We hunkered in the den and sweated. And waited. The dogs couldn't stand the thunder and whimpered at our feet. They didn't understand why the doors were open. This could allow inside whatever was making that racket. Eventually, we decided to roam the neighborhood and see if we could spot an AEP truck working on the lines. At least the car has air conditioning. We cranked it up full blast as we took note of which streets are completely dark and which have lights. As we drove through our neighborhood, it appeared we were being followed. Headlights popped up in the rearview mirror. Then we figured out several of our neighbors were also roaming around for the same reason we were, soaking up their vehicle's AC, wasting gasoline, and hoping to spot a truck fixing the power outage. We're a pitiful lot, unable to sit home long in the dark, stripped of our television, computers, and air conditioning. I finally drove home and broke out the flashlights. Reading by flashlight reminds me of hiding under the covers with a pen light as a kid after lights out, trying to finish the latest Hardy Boys novel. The power had now been off for 4 hours. The small sliding window in my study offers a scant breeze. I decided to call AEP again. This time a human answered. I politely asked if she has any idea when power might be restored. She clicked a few keys and said she couldn't predict when that might happen. Just then a house alarm went off down the street, my computer restarted, the air conditioning kicked on, and the lights blazed alive. "The electricity has returned. You did it," I told the AEP rep, who said she couldn't take the credit. "Oh, but you should," I say. "Goodness knows you folks get plenty of the blame." She allowed us how that certainly was true. It's not just storms that knock out the power. The electrical grid is terribly fragile, often taken down by squirrels. I read a piece the other day by a fellow who spent the summer documenting power outages caused by those toothy rodents, who regard our tree-filled backyard as a paradise. The writer found reports of 50 power outages in 24 states caused by squirrels, knocking out an airport, hospital, museum, and by my count, about 50,000 customers, all by squirrels committing hara-kiri. We have grown soft, overly dependent on air conditioning and the other creature comforts. Someday, I hope to build a house that is designed to rely less on artificial cooling and more on natural airflow, shade, and terrain. Of course, it probably won't be in East Texas. When it's 90 degrees and humid, there isn't much to do but crank up the AC and pray that the power doesn't go off.
Commentator Gary Borders teaches journalism at Kilgore College, and speaking of light, he advises the student newspaper called The Flare. You can send him virtual smoke signals via borders@redriverradio.org. Morning Edition continues in a moment.